For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. It's such a blessing to have Dr. John Reynolds back with us. It's been a couple of years, I think, since we've had you here, and he's preached here many times. His father, Orland, pastored the church we served in Spencer, started that church in 1951, and we were privileged to be there for 10 years, and then came here in 1999, and his father again, Brother Orland, pastored here, I think, in 1949, 1950. And I've just had a great relationship and friendship with the Reynolds family many years. And I sure thank God for Brother John. He's been a great mentor and advisor and encouragement to me over the years. I used to say as a young preacher he was, and now as an old preacher he still, as an old preacher he still is. Although Brother Danny compared you to the founding fathers today. So I'm not that old, but anyway. Brother Reynolds pastors the Sunlight Baptist Church near Athens, Georgia, and God's used him in a lot of great churches. I think of Forest Hills Baptist Church there under Dr. Hudson, and of course Highland Park there, Baptist Church there under Dr. Robertson, the Sword many years, and just God's used him across our nation, across our world. And just a blessing. I appreciate him taking a few days and coming up and preaching for us. And welcome home, Brother Reynolds, wherever you are. And glad to have you with us. Let's give him a good hand. Amen.
Well, sometimes someone introduces me like that, and I get the idea that I can't keep a job. I just, move from place to place to place. But I am delighted to be here, and thank you, Pastor, for the invitation to come and be with you for this time. I am just thrilled always to be here. I just feel at home at the Ripley Baptist Temple. I really do. It just feels comfortable. I remember when my dad pastored Ripley Baptist Temple. It was downtown, and the old stone building that was there, and many memories from that. I remember in that church, they would stand me on a chair behind the pulpit, and I would sing "When My Savior Reached Down for Me." Amen. And my sister would play the piano, and I would sing there. And wow, good memories, good memories. I can't believe I can remember that long ago. But it's a joy to be here. Revival meeting. I'm going to preach on revival tonight. Let's see, tonight we start at 6:30. Monday night we start at 7, Tuesday night at 7, Wednesday night at 7:30. If we had Thursday night service, we'd start at 8 o'clock. It just keeps getting a little later and a little later. I hope you'll be back tonight. I hope you will. I mentioned 5 words about revival in the Sunday school today. And one of those words is preparation. You have to prepare for revival. One of the main things you have to prepare is your schedule. You have to plan it. It has to be put in there. Revival is an interesting thing. Revival is totally in God's hands. And yet, He puts a portion of it at our responsibility. Many times, revival begins, if you read the history of revivals, many times revival begins with old women praying.
Yeah. Right.
There are times also revival begins with young people. Just young people working. And that's where revival starts, in young people. Old people can pray. Young people can work. I was came out of a service where they'd had a special program, and they were moving things out of the auditorium They were moving speakers and sound systems and sets and everything like that. You know, they were moving it out and moving it out to load into the van where the people that did the program were going on to the next place. This was just a couple of weeks ago. And I walked out and I looked back and, you know, my first reaction was I ought to help them load that stuff. But there was a bunch of young guys there. And I looked over at my wife and I said, those backs are younger than this back. And there are things that youth can do. Young people, you have contact with young people. You know where they are. And they are at a point in their life where they're making decisions. A lot of people who are in the middle years of their life especially have already made certain decisions. But you affect people that are making decisions at this point in their life. And you've made some decisions.
Good.
And you can help them. You know, I mean, you're on all those social media platforms. And you can say, come tonight. I want you to come tonight. Doesn't make any difference what you're doing. Come on, just stop whatever you're doing and come. Well, I've got to work. Well, just quit and come on. You know, come to church. Come to revival. And we're going to talk about that tonight. The coming revival or the coming something.
Yeah.
Something's coming.
Yeah, man.
Right. I mean, it's on track.
Yeah.
Ready or not. Yes. You ever play hide and seek? Hide and go seek? We did that whenever I was a kid. I don't think they play that anymore because you can't play it with your thumbs.
Yeah.
But but you know, count to 100 and ready or not, here I come. I'll tell you what, something's coming whether you're ready or not.
Yes.
I hope you'll be here tonight. Generally, in a four-night meeting, by the fourth night, we start to have revival. And then we quit. You know, we pray about revival and talk about revival. But someplace, sometime, somewhere, somebody's just going to have to settle in and have a revival.
Yeah.
And just stick with it till revival comes. But that's tonight. I hope you'll be back tonight. I turn to a very familiar passage of Scripture. You maybe can quote it, but it's in John chapter 3. I'm going to read the first seven verses. You can either think through it with me or follow it in the Scripture. And I'm going to preach to you this morning on the absolute necessity of being born again. Somebody said to George Whitfield, Brother Whitfield, why do you preach so much on you must be born again? It seems like all the time you're just preaching on you must be born again. Why do you do that? He said, my brother, it's because ye must be born again.
Amen.
We live in a day when people say there are no absolutes. Well, my question is, are you absolutely sure that there are no absolutes? You can't be sure of that. Maybe there is an absolute. And if God says something is absolute, it's an absolute.
Right.
There was a man of the Pharisees, verse 1, John chapter 3. His name was Nicodemus. He was a man of the Pharisees, but he was a ruler. He was not just a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews, which probably meant he was in the Sanhedrin. He was of the muckety-mucks of the Jewish religion. That same man, Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night. A lot of reasons have been given why he came by night. But he said unto him, Rabbi, which was a very respectful term, calling him teacher, we know, thou art a teacher come from God. Rabbi means teacher. He calls him rabbi. He says, we know you're a rabbi come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He was close But he was wrong. He was not a man come from God. He was God come to man. Jesus did not say thank you, anything like that. He said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee. It seems quite abrupt. It seems just a strange way to answer that. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, verse 6, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not. Don't be amazed at this. Don't be surprised at it. Don't be lacking in understanding. That I say unto thee, ye must be born again. This is a religious man. Doubtless, he lived a cleaner life than any of us. Doubtless, his entire schedule centered around the so-called worship of God. He spent time reading the scriptures. He spent time meditating on the scriptures. He did his ritual prayers daily. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a conservative Jew. He was a man of the Pharisees. He was a Pharisee. Now, we use that term in a derogatory way because a lot of the attitudes of the Pharisees. But the Pharisees is what Paul was before, when he was Saul, before he got saved. He was a Pharisee. And before the law, he said, I was blameless. No doubt Nicodemus was too. There was not a mark against him, against his moral conduct, against his speech, against his language. There was not a mark against him. He was a religious man, and he was serious about it.
Right.
I want you to see, first of all, that there are two realms. There is a physical realm, and there is a spiritual realm. Now, that's true of everybody. That's true in this room today. There's no doubt you understand that. If any generation ever understood that, this generation ought to understand completely that there are all kinds of pictures, sounds, videos, conversations, everything going through this room right now. We don't see it. We don't hear it. Unless we have a device that connects to that and pulls it out of the unseen and brings it into visibility and into sound. But it's here. It's here. Why should it surprise us that there is a spirit world as well as a physical world? Some people, in reading the Bible, and I noticed Pastor said this morning as they were looking in Isaiah, as we were looking at the millennium. He said, this is literal. Sometimes people ask about a passage of Scripture, is that real or is that spiritual? In other words, what they're saying is, is that physical or is it spiritual? But you see, you can't use the word real because the spiritual is just as real as the physical. It's just in a different realm. It's no less real. We are oriented to the physical. But we have to acknowledge the fact that there is a spiritual presence around us and that there's a whole nother realm going on. You cannot read the papers, look at news in any realm, whether you live in political realms or religious realms or wherever, and look at that without you seeing opposing forces that may manifest themselves in a physical way, but there are spiritual forces that are opposing each other. It's there. Whenever we come to the Word of God, it's referred to like this, as the flesh or the spirit. Now, technically, we are spirit and we live our lives in a fleshly body. I do not say that this hand is me. This is, what's the word? My hand. This hand belongs to me. This is my body. Just like Jesus said, my body. This is my body. Just like this is my coat. This is my body. But I am a spiritual being, and you know me through my physical expression of that spiritual being. We may call it temporal, because the physical is temporal. That means temporary. It also means earthly. Spiritual is eternal. Spiritual is heavenly in Bible terminology. And whenever Jesus said to Nicodemus, "He born of the water," he explains that very clearly in just a little bit. Whenever he says in the next phrase, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Whenever he talks about born of the water, he's talking about a fleshly birth. A fleshly birth, when you're born naturally, we say, into the physical realm, you are born naturally. You are born physically. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Right. So there's a natural birth, a physical birth, and a spiritual birth. There is the seen and the unseen. And because the seen so appeals to our senses, our physical senses, we tend to make that a priority. But the scripture is very clear in this, that we ought to spend our lives and focus our attention not on the temporal, not on the earthly, but on the spiritual, on the eternal, on the heavenly. One morning in a service where I was preaching, I was trying to explain this, and I asked a young man sitting, just a kid, sitting on the second row, something like that, near the front. His name was Seth Taylor. I said, "Seth, come here. I want to give you a choice, okay?" And I had a quarter in one hand, and I had a $5 bill in the other hand. I said, "Now, Seth, if you want right now, I will give you this quarter. If you will wait till next Sunday, I will give you this $5 bill. Now, which would you like to have?" I said, "I'll give you this quarter. I'll give it to you right now. But if you'll wait till next Sunday, I'll give you this $5 bill. His dad's sitting back there, "Seth, take the five. Seth, take the five. Wait next week. Wait next." You know what Seth did? He took the quarter. He took the quarter. And a lot of people are living their lives today grabbing the quarter and sacrificing the future on the altar of the present. And are given priority to earthly things. How I feel, what I think, what will give me right now the expression or feeling within my senses that I would like to have right now. I want you to see in the physical and the spiritual that Jesus makes a comparison here with Nicodemus. I want you to see a couple of things. First of all, I want you to see that both of them are entered by a birth. Amen. You enter the physical realm by a birth. And you enter the spiritual realm as far as God's Spirit. You enter that by a birth. Right. That's the very essence of what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus. You must be born again. Nicodemus said, how? How? Can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? No, he's not talking about that. If you could enter the second time into your mother's womb and be born, you would be born of the flesh. Now, it would be another birth, but it'd be another physical birth, another natural birth. And it comes with the same natural consequences that you had in the first time you were born of the flesh. Right. He said, I'm not talking about having another birth in the same realm. I'm talking about having another birth into a different realm. Amen. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now, I remember when I don't remember the date that I was born spiritually. I don't remember the date. I remember when it was. I remember some things surrounding the circumstances, but I don't remember the date. I don't know the date. I don't know what date it was. Now, I know the date of my physical birth. But I remember none of the surroundings. I don't know anything about that. I have no memory of that whatsoever. Now, I know people who don't remember or don't know the date of their physical birth. They pick a date for their birthday, but they don't know when they were born. And there's a number of situations that can cause that, that makes that to be. But now, because they don't remember the date they're born, does that say, can I say to that person, well, you're not a real person if you don't remember the date you're born. If you don't know your birthday, you're not alive. Well, that's silly. That's silly. Now, are you going to say to me, and I've had people say to me, if you don't remember the date you got born again, you're not saved. That's not true. You know, I've heard people give testimonies. Dear old man that I heard testify back whenever in the services out in the country, we used to have a few minutes of testimonies before the preacher would preach, and we'd have, you know, some exhortation and so forth like that. And this fella get up and say, and he'd talk about his testimony. He said, I remember praying at the church one night in a revival meeting. I went down front and I prayed. I wanted God to save me. I wanted God to save me. And he said, God wouldn't save me. Now, that's not true. He didn't understand. Right. He didn't understand. But he said, God wouldn't save me. He said, people gathered around me and prayed. I prayed and prayed. He said, I prayed until everybody left the church. Everybody went on home, and I was still at the front praying. He said, finally, I got up. I went home. I prayed all the way home. I got home. I was laying in bed that night. I was praying. If God would save me, I want God wouldn't save me. And he said, all of a sudden, into my room, there was a light. I saw a light in the corner of my room. And he said, that light started moving toward me. And he said, that's how I got saved. Okay, you know, If that's your experience, okay, and that's all right. Everybody has different experiences because we're no two the same. Everybody has different experiences. But then he said something, and he always finished it like this. If you didn't get saved like that, you're not saved. I mean, as a little kid, I thought, well, I'm not saved. I mean, I didn't pray for hours down at the front of the church, and I didn't pray all the way home. I didn't go home and pray until a light showing up in the corner and started moving toward me. That didn't happen to me. I must not be saved. And then I learned, dear Mr. Jones was not the standard of who was saved and who was not saved. I learned that this book and God's Word and what God says is the thing that is the standard. Now, whatever experience you may have had, your hair may stand up on ends, and I mean, you know, you may get chill bumps on your arms and everything like this, and you may go cross-eyed and yell and holler or whatever you want to do, run up and down the aisle. But if you get saved, whatever expression of that takes place, it's because you received Jesus Christ as your Savior and trusted Him.
Amen.
May I say this? Whenever you are born again, you're not born again physically. You're born into the family of God spiritually. That's why when you get saved, if you get saved with white hair, you have white hair after you get saved. If you're overweight before you got saved, you're still overweight after you got saved. If you're sick with COVID and you get saved, you still have COVID after you got saved. There is not a physical change in your life. Now, I know the Bible says, behold, all things, old things are passed away and all things are become new. But that is what it is. It's an entirely new thing. It's not an improvement in your physical being. It's not a change in your emotional structure. It is a whole new being.
Amen.
Whereas you were not a child of God. Now, you're a child of God.
Amen.
Everything changed.
Amen.
Your father, you got a new father.
Yeah.
You got a new family.
Amen.
Oh my. You got a new home.
Amen.
A new destination. You got a new power. Everything changed. You are a new creature. A new creation.
Amen.
Just like in a few days, I heard in Sunday school, was a brother Danny, is that who was talking about your grandbaby going to be born and excited to see the grandbaby, you know. Oh, look at this. Oh, this is brand new. Oh, whenever you were born again, you were brand new.
Amen.
That means everything was new. Everything about you was new. It was not an improvement of your old situation. It's not an improvement of the physical. Now, it does manifest itself in an improvement of the physical.
Right.
Inevitably, that will take place. But that doesn't mean anything except that there is coming now a priority to the spiritual above the physical, and it expresses itself in the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you conduct yourself, what you read, who you hang out with, all of those kinds of things. As you begin to emphasize the spiritual. But your physical doesn't change only until the spiritual begins to work and change those things physically in you. And God gives you the power to do that. And that's called your testimony for Christ. But you're saved before that can happen.
Amen.
That can't happen until you're saved.
Right.
You cannot manifest the works of the Spirit until you have the Holy Spirit, and you cannot have the Holy Spirit until you are born spiritually.
Good. Right.
Now, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It may be pretty flesh, but it's flesh. It may be educated flesh. But if you have not been born again into the family of God, it's just educated flesh. I could say so many things, but it may be baptized flesh. You know, it's possible for a person to be baptized and have not been saved. That happened to me. And after I got saved and I got scripturally baptized following my salvation. But it may be religious flesh. But if it's just religious and have never been born again, it's just religious flesh. And flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, because God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. In the very next chapter of John, he says to the woman of the well, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we hear that and we think, oh, well, God's some ethereal non-identity, not identified, you know, no dimensions, no nothing like it's just spirit. No, he's in a different realm. He's in the spirit realm. He's no less real. It's no less literal.
Right.
It's just in another realm. And until you are part of that realm, you cannot go to his place, because he's not your father. That's why Jesus said, many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not do this and do this and do that? And I shall profess unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Now, were these wicked people out selling drugs and into pornography and all that kind of stuff? No, 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 no. These were people who did good works and did good deeds, but they were in the flesh. So the question is, as it came to Nicodemus here, have you been born again? Nicodemus asks questions twice. He says to the Lord, first of all, how can a man be born? How can a man be born when he's old? And then he says, down in verse 12, he says, if I've told you earthly things, Jesus said it to him, if I've told you earthly things and you don't believe me about earthly things, how are you going to believe if I tell you about heavenly things? Now, what Jesus is saying is, if you don't believe the truth, you don't really believe the truth about who you are and where you are and what I've told you about yourself, how are you going to believe heavenly things? How are you going to do that? Nicodemus said, how can these things be? Jesus said to him, are you a master in Israel and you don't know these things? Now, I don't know about you. I'm talking to those of you who know your Bible pretty well, okay? But I don't see distinctly in the Old Testament the born-again experience. But it must be there. Because Jesus expected Nicodemus to know what he was talking about when he was talking about being born again. But he uses something as an illustration that Nicodemus knew very well. He said, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Do you know what happened? Nicodemus knew that story. He could quote it word for word from the Old Testament scriptures. People were dying because of the bite of the serpent, which represented sin. They were dying. Moses created a brazen serpent. Brass is always a picture of judgment. And took the likeness of a serpent, and sin was judged on the tree. They put it on a pole and raised it up. And everyone who looked on it lived. They got new life. Now, it was not a spiritual life, but it was a picture of what Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about. They got new life. It welled up within them immediately. And they did not have to kiss the serpent. They did not have to salute it. They did not have to see real clearly. They didn't have to have a full understanding of how it worked. None of them knew how it worked.
Good.
If a wife went home to her husband and said, "Oh, honey, I know you've been bitten. You know I was bitten too. But I looked on the serpent and now I'm whole." He says, "I don't believe that."
Yeah.
She says, "Well, look at me." He said, "I know, but I don't believe that's how it works. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. How does that happen?" She said, "I don't know how it happens, but it happened. It happened." Now, he says, "I'm not going to look at it. I'm not going to look at it. I'm too sick to go outside. I'm too sick to do anything. We'll help you. We'll get there. We'll help you there. We'll help you to see this." "No, no, no." He says, "Don't mess with that. Doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference. I don't think it'll work for me. It may work for other people, but I don't think it'll work for me." You know what's going to happen to him? He's going to die.
Right.
He's going to die. But in the tent next to him, there's a fellow that says, "Oh, do you think if I looked at the serpent, do you think it would work for me?" "Oh, yes. Yes, it would. Come on. God gave this to Moses. This is what God has said. God has said it would." And they take him outside, and somehow he, through dimmed eyes and dying vision, looks to the serpent, and all of a sudden, he has new life.
Yes, amen. Good.
Oh, my friend, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world." World was already condemned. World was already bitten by the serpent. Everybody was already dying. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Oh, preacher, that's simple. You know what that is? That's a microphone. You know what that is? That's a radio transmitter. Up there in the sound booth, they have a radio receiver up there. And the signal takes my voice through this wire into this transmitter, goes up there, processes through that, and through these speakers, I guess these white speakers here, it comes out what I say, and it happens just like that.
Yeah.
See? In instantaneously. That happened. How does that work? I don't know, but I talk into it. I'm not going to say, well, I'll tell you one thing right now. I'm not going to say anything into that little old button until I figure out how this thing works. Well, you can just be quiet a long time because you're not going to figure out how it works. The fact of it is, somebody else figured out how to make it work. God figured out how to make this work.
Yes, sir.
He figured out how to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Oh, my soul, what a wonderful thing. I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. The message unto you I'll give. 'Tis a message from above. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in God's word. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. How shall these things be? How can this take place? How can this possibly ever be my experience? That's what Jesus said in answer to Nicodemus' question. That whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Good.
You see, I don't have to figure out how to make this thing work. Somebody already figured that out. I don't have to figure out how to be saved. I don't have to figure out salvation. I just trust what Jesus Christ has already done. They took him outside the city of Jerusalem. He was made sin for us, and our sin was placed on him. Now, you know what I do? I put my faith where God put my sin. God put my sin on Jesus Christ. I put my faith on Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. As simple as that. Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Have you been born again? If not, if you have not, I don't want to make this any harder than God makes it. What a shame that would be. How awful it is for people to say, well, I want to tell you right now. I'll tell you right now. I don't like this easy believism stuff. I'll tell you, just believe on Jesus and you'll be saved. Then they start adding to this. I'll tell you, you've got to do this. You've got to be baptized. You've got to be faithful in church. You've got to read your Bible. You've got to give your money. No, no, no. You know why it's easy to believe on Jesus? Because he did the hard part. He did the hard part. I don't know where in the world that term ever came from. Easy believism. The hardest thing in the world to get people to do is simply believe and stop all this other stuff. Stop all this, do this and do this and feel this way and go that way and do this stuff and have that light in the corner and pray all night there at the front of the church. Just stop it.
Amen.
Stop it. And trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh, my Holy Spirit, would you please help us today. Father, for those here who have never been born again, have never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that right now they would do that.